This is Brother Brennan coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas with another Fishers and Men video broadcast. It is good to be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It has been a very long time since I seemingly did one of these, so we're going to get right into it. And today's topic, we're going to be talking on... I'm going to be preaching a message tonight entitling The Servant of All. And just to kind of get you thinking a little bit, and I'm going to kind of pose this question when I preach, but what is your motive to ministry? Okay, so I just want you guys to think about that. What is your motive for ministry, and why are you in it? And are you in it just for self? Or are you in it because you really want to serve the Lord and you want to, be able to just do whatever the Lord tells you because you know that you love Him and you love Him because He first loved you. Amen? So, excuse me. You know what? I got some water here. I'm going to just take a sip here of water. Get some water down in me a little bit here. Okay. So, that's what we're going to be talking about today, this evening. Servant of all. And, let's see here. If anybody has any prayer requests, you can feel free to mention them in the comments on YouTube or the comments of the Facebook Live video. And feel free to mention them. If you don't want to mention them, that's fine. That's completely up to you. But if you can keep me in prayer, keep my ministry in prayer. If you keep me and my ministry in prayer, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to do a Fishers of Men broadcast on Sundays. That's what it seems like. It's kind of like the best time to do it. So pray for me that will be a possibility. And I'm going to also be doing my live daily Bible readings. And so you pray for that as well. And if you have any prayer requests, feel free to mention them. I don't have much for prayer requests right now because I kind of have to update it. If you can pray for my family, I've got family members that need your prayers, so if you can pray for them. I know Brother Joey, he doesn't mind me saying his name because I know... I don't think he minds anyways, because he hasn't really minded in the past, so. But, Brother Joey, if you can keep him in prayer, he's got pain. So please keep Brother Joey in prayer. Pray for me. And, pray for Pastor Mike as he, you know, for all those that, follow Bethel Church as I do. Keep him in prayer. for the Red River Bible Prophecy Conference, as well as I think he's heading down to Pastor Cooley's church after that. So he's kind of got a busy week or so ahead of him. And with this massive hysteria of the C virus, and we'll talk about that in a minute, things are kind of unknown and, you know, and stuff like that. So pray for Pastor Mike as he travels up to Moorhead. Was it Moorhead, Minnesota, or is it Fargo? I think it's Fargo. For some reason, I think it's Moorhead. I think it was in Moorhead, but maybe it's in Fargo now. I don't know. It's one of those. But anyway, so keep Pastor Mike in prayer and pray that, you know, just pray that God will give him the words to speak. If you can kind of pray for Pastor Ron and his church and Pastor Cooley and his church. I don't know if you guys are willing to let me just kind of put that out there for people to pray for you, but I probably should ask too, because that would probably be a little bit more polite to do so. But anyways, but if you could pray for them and keep them in your prayers. So I think that's going to be it for prayer requests. Announcements, like I said, I'd like to try to do a Fishers of Men broadcast every Sunday. So pray for me on that. Pray that if the Lord will allow me to do one of these on Sunday, along with my daily Bible reading, pray that the Lord will work it out. I think so far it's kind of looking up. So pray for me on that, and pray that God will just have His way and will for that. Let's see here. Pray. So we got that. So that'll be on hopefully Sundays now. What was I gonna say now? I can't see. Sometimes I say something and it slips my mind and stuff like that. So just kind of bear with me a little bit. what else? Oh yeah, daily Bible reading. So for those of you that don't know, I am doing a daily Bible reading. I try to do 3 chapters a day if I can. Sometimes I do more, sometimes I don't do them. It really depends on my schedule. And so if you can, so if you want to follow that, you can go to YouTube, and YouTube or sermon audio doesn't really matter, but I just completed the first 5 books of the Bible today, reading, and we're actually in Joshua right now, so if you guys want to follow along in that, feel free to do so. And I have a YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and type in, Fishers of Men Ministries, Brandon Swanson, I should be the first thing that pops up. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, just hit the subscribe button. And there's a notification bell too if you want to get updates on new videos. You hit that notification bell and you click on all. And when you click on all, it will give you every update that I do. Anytime I do a video, it'll give you all the updates. It'll give you updates for those, for every single video that I do. That way you won't miss one, and that way you can keep in touch and, you know, keep following along with us. So, but I think that's going to be it for the announcements for now. News. Anything newsworthy? Boy, there seems to be a lot of news today, isn't there? A lot of news. And I'm sure you all know about the coronavirus and all the massive hysteria that's going around with this coronavirus. Let me just kind of put this out there for a second, okay? The coronavirus is just it's really just another cold, another strand of flu, okay? And yes, it can kill, but the chances of someone being killed, let me put it this way. You have a greater chance of stepping on a landmine, getting hit with a flaming asteroid, bit by every poisonous serpent out there at the same time, than you dying of corona. Okay, corona is just, it's another flu is what it is. And there's all sorts of, you know, but there's a lot of hysteria going around. And I think to what I heard, actually I'm not going to go there because I don't want to put out any faulty information. But I know that Italy, what I know about Italy is that I think Italy is shut down. I think Spain is shut down. As of Monday evening, we are not, there is no more flights are going out to Britain. And I think, what was it? I think Scotland, I think it was. But I know it's like the United Kingdom. Like there's not going to be any more flights going out to the United Kingdom. But if you are a U.S. citizen in any of those, the president and vice president want you to come home. You'll have to be quarantined for like 14 days, but they want you to come home so that you could be safe. And the president cares. The president really does care for the people of this country. Now, however, are there things I disagree with? Yes, I do disagree with some stuff that he's done. But Trump has been a very hardworking president. He's our president, and we need to give him respect that he deserves, respect and honor that office of presidency. But Trump is really concerned. He's naturally concerned for the citizens. And he wants to just make sure that the economy is going to continue going through all this hysteria. Now, my theory is, hang on a second, I got to take a drink of water here. But this coronavirus hysteria, I think, is all about the money. The elitists want to try to create this massive hysteria so they can get rich. And they're politicizing it, I think. And that's just my opinion. Now, I can be wrong on that. But any time when politics is involved, you better be sure there's money, okay? But this whole massive hysteria that's getting people wide-eyed crazy about the coronavirus, I think is a political move, okay? Now, again, you have more... You're more likely to get hit with an asteroid than be killed by the coronavirus. You're actually more likely getting killed by Ebola than you are corona. Okay. So I don't know what the big deal is. Some people are just going wide-eyed crazy. And people are going nuts over this coronavirus thing. And really, anybody can be cured. I mean, there's a 95% recovery rate. So there really it really shouldn't be that big of a deal. Unless if I'm missing something, okay? But it's really not that big of a deal. But that's not my message, okay? I'm just kind of putting that out for the news. It's just... I just sometimes think that a lot of these, you know, people kind of make themselves look like donkeys a bit. There you go. That's the donkey. People make themselves look donkeys when they start worrying about stuff. And trust me, I'm kind of one of those donkeys. I make myself look like a donkey when I worry about things I shouldn't worry about. You know what I'm saying? So this whole hysteria thing is just nonsense. You know, they're taking something and making a big deal out of it, you know. You know, it is what it is, amen. So, other than that, I just wanted to just address that. So, it's just something that, you know, yes, you know, we don't want people infected, but, you know, and people are, the elderly, those who have respiratory problems, they're going to have issues with it, obviously, but, you know, really shouldn't scare us all that much, amen. So we should just keep pressing forward towards the mark and just continue on with our lives, amen. And just let it, you know, I heard that, you know, this thing could burn out by, you know, once it hits summer, because, you know, once it gets warmer, some people think it might just burn out, so, you know, hopefully that's the case. You know, that would be good. That way this whole thing will be over and we don't have to have any more issues with it. Amen? So, anyways, with that said, I think that's going to be it for tonight. That's going to be it for the news for tonight. Now, let's go to our message. The title of the message is Servant of All. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 35. Mark 9:35. It says, And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Okay? So let's think about that for a second. It says that if any man desireth to be first, okay, he shall be last. Now, when you put this in perspective, if a man desireth the office of bishop, he desireth a good work, okay? Now, the Bible also says, that be ye not many masters, for ye shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay? Let me pull that verse up. It says in James chapter 3, verse 1, My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay? So, what does that mean? That means that when you step into authority, such as pastor, bishop, the same thing, deacon, or an elder, or just any leadership role in the church, when you step into those positions, okay, those are good work, okay? However, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay? So I want you to think about something for a second. What does that mean? Well, when you step up into like a pastoral role, okay, you're going to be judged more. Your judgment's going to be a little bit more critical than, say, than someone that goes to church, right? Because the pastor is supposed to be the head, he has the authority over a particular church, and he's got responsibility, and therefore, you know, that judgment's going to be a lot more, I don't want to say harsh, but there's going to be more expected out of that pastor from that church. Amen. And so we see here that if someone steps into a pastoral role, okay, their job is to serve and protect their flock. Amen. It's not about the pastor, it's about his flock. Okay, so hang on a second. So I have a question I do have a question I'd like to pose. to you guys, okay? Why are you in ministry? Are you in ministry because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and want to serve Him wholeheartedly? Or are you in ministry to serve yourself and your flesh and to draw people to yourselves? Why are you in ministry? Why are we in ministry? What is a person's purpose? Okay? Now here's why I pose that question. Because there are people, there are a lot of pastors, there's a lot of even deacons, and there's even a lot of Christians that will say they're born again. Okay? There's even Christians that will view themselves as a preacher or an evangelist, and yet they either don't make the qualifications or they're not called into it. Okay? And so they say they're preachers, and what they do is they want to draw people to themselves. So in other words, you have a lot of people in ministry that their purpose of ministry is to be selfish. They're only in it to draw disciples after their own selves. Occults, as you would say. Amen? There are Christians out there that are like that. There are Christians that will say that they're preachers, and what they'll do is they're only in it for selfish reasons. They want the views. They want the people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm just as susceptible to that. I am. And I have to be careful at what I say and do so I don't become like that. Okay? But there are people who are in ministry for pretty selfish reasons. Okay? And guess where it stems from? One word. Pride. Pride has a lot to do with selfishness and one's ego. So, leaders have to be careful to not be puffed up in pride. I have to be careful not to be puffed up in pride. I have to be careful to not have an ego. But there are people whose motive for ministry is selfishness. It's out of pride. It's out of ego. They want to do ministry. It has nothing to do with the love of truth. It has nothing to do with a love for the Lord. You should be in ministry for the right reasons. And I'm probably going to be hated a lot by a lot of people for this. Okay? But your motives for ministry should not be selfish reasons. Your motive for ministry should be a good motive. A motive, you know, you should be able to be in ministry because you love God and want to serve Him. Amen. That's why I pose those questions. Okay? Are you in ministry because you love the Lord, or are you in it to fulfill your flesh? Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, if you will. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Okay? But Jesus called them to Him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be as the chiefest shall be servant of all. Servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give life, or to give his life for a ransom for many. Amen. When we take a look at Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God who became flesh. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you want to know something? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. Amen. So, let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ came to serve others, how much more should we be serving others in ministry? Amen. John chapter 13, verse 13 through 16. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. He loved the Father so much, and he had such a heart for people that he came to us. My question is, are we willing to go to people? We all struggle with it because of pride. Pride gets in the way. And we're going to be talking about that tonight too. But ministry should be about serving others. Washing each other's feet. We should not be doing ministry to have disciples, to make disciples of our own selves. People who go into ministry making disciples of themselves is a very selfish reason. They're selfish, they're arrogant, they're prideful, they're puffed up. Let's be sure that our motive is right when we go into ministry. Amen? Let's be sure that our motive is right. And not because of a selfish reason. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. We are to be servants to all, and we are to serve others and not ourselves. We are to serve God first, and then while we are serving God, we need to serve others. They're synonymous. You can't have one without the other. Okay, to serve God is to serve others. We need to serve others. We need to love others. Okay, now what does it mean to be servant of all? It means that you put God first. You put God and others first before your own self. Jesus Christ is God, is the Son of God. He is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he came to minister to others, not to be ministered to. And we need to serve others as Christ had served others. We need to extend the gospel to every creature. Amen. Jesus Christ had humbled himself and he washed his disciples' feet, and he asked us to do the same. Now, is this a literal foot washing? It can be. But to wash feet is to give the gospel out, to share the good news with people. Amen. It is to be able to witness to people. Amen. Washing each other's feet. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're going to read in verses 4 through 10. John chapter 13, 4 through 10. He riseth from, and this is what it says, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Listen, Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in me. Jesus set the ultimate example. Does this mean that we go and tell people that they have no part in us if they won't allow us to wash their feet? No. But what I'm getting at is that Jesus Christ set the ultimate example of servanthood. We are servants of the Most High God. We're to serve others. We're not here to be served. Ministry is not designed for man's vanity so that man can puff himself up, make disciples of him, of his own self, and go off and do whatever he wants. That's what cults do. Cults do that. Cults have people and they have disciples of, you know, of a person. They make disciples of these people, they have disciples that follow them. We are not. Bible Christianity is not about having a relationship with a man that wants to make disciples after himself. Bible Christianity is about having a relationship with Christ. And yes, we should have and develop relationships with one another. But your relationship with Christ is far more important than anything else. Amen. Your relationship with Christ is far more important than anything else. Okay. Now, let's take a look at this in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Okay, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Okay. Jesus said that the Son of Man cometh to... I'm going to butcher it here just a second. Let me actually read it. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. okay? To seek and to save that which is lost. And so we see that is like the ultimate servant right there. The servant, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate example for a servant. A servant will go and preach the gospel and win souls to the Lord. But he will go to the person. It's not about getting people to come. It's not about getting a following for you. It's about you winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to yourself. Okay? And we're going to see this example here of how Paul and Silas were able to lead a soul and his whole household to the Lord. Paul was an example of how we should be. Let's all be like Paul, follow with Paul, and be... Now, when I say let's be like Paul, okay, there's nothing wrong of being like Paul, but we need to be more like Christ, okay? But let's follow in Paul's example of being a servant. Amen? Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read from 16 through 34. Okay, 16 to 34. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding they trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stones. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now listen, Paul and Silas could have been in that jail cell, moaning and groaning, complaining, saying, well, it's your fault, he did this, I don't like this, he did that, I don't want to be here. They could have moaned and groaned and complained, but that is not what they did. They praised and worshipped God. They chose to rejoice in their sufferings, to rejoice the fact that they were in prison. And you want to know something? Is because of Paul's and Silas's servant heart, they brought the jailer to Christ, and he got saved, and his whole house got saved. And do you know why? Because Paul and Silas, they weren't looking to draw followers after them. They were wanting to draw them to Christ. And actually, there's a verse that comes to mind. Hang on. Here we go. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, why do I share this with you, okay? I share this with you because the church of Corinth were saying, "Well, I'm Apollos." They're trying to get all these groups to say, "Well, I'm Apollos, I'm of this, I am of that, and I'm all of that." And Paul's saying, "No. No." Now you might ask yourselves, "Well, why does that even matter? Why do you even say that for? What's the point of what you just said to what you're talking about?" Let me tell you why. Because the people at Corinth were choosing sides, saying, "Well, I'm of so and so," when they should be of Christ. And you got pastors that will try to get people to follow after them instead of following Christ. These people are making disciples after their own selves, and that's not right. There's some pride issues and some serious ego issues with people who do that. Okay? Let's follow with Paul to Christ. Let's follow with the apostles to Christ. Man is not the one to follow, because man will fail you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Man will fail you. It is not what man thinks, it's what God thinks. Amen. So we ought not to be in ministry to serve ourselves and draw people to ourselves, but to Christ. People who are in the ministry that will serve their own selves will draw people to follow after them, which in essence is pride. And pride is not of God. People who draw people to themselves are men pleasers. They are cowards. They have a fear of man. They want to have people stroke their egos for them. "Oh, Brandon, that's too hard." But it's true. It's true. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Gotta find it here. Oops, a little bit too far. That's Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, here we go. Timothy. Again, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're gonna read verses 1 through 9. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. Listen, folks, when you've got people drawing people after their own selves, they're high-minded, they're lovers of pleasures, they're lovers of their flesh, they're lovers of their pride, they're lovers of their ego. They're false accusers. They'll accuse you of things that are not true. And they're nice to you because they have an agenda. Despisers of those that are good. They go after the good stuff. They go after churches. They try to do church splits. They try to sheep steal. People who are looking for attention, people who are trying to draw a following after their self, are despisers of those that are good. And they're lovers of pleasures, and they don't like God. People who draw people to them and not to Christ are for personal gain. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And if they are a wolf in sheep's clothing, they are an enemy to the bride of Christ. Now, I will say this. We need to pray for them so that God can get a hold of their pride, that God might break them, that they might repent. Just because someone is your enemy does not mean that you shouldn't love them. Jesus says, love your enemies. We need to pray for those who persecute us. Amen. Pray for them. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 through 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. People who go into ministry with selfish motives draw disciples after their own self. They speak perverse things and they go in trying to devour the flock. Amen. Now we're going to talk, and by the way, and like I said, this has a lot to do with pride. So we're going to be getting into some pride verses here. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. I'm going to tell you something. Where there is pride, there's contentions. Because when someone's pride gets hurt, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be disagreements, there's going to be finger pointing. You did this, you did that, I don't like you, I don't like them. Swallow your pride for a second. Where there is pride, there is contentions. And people who go into ministry with selfish motives to draw people to themselves, to devour flocks, they're puffed up with pride and they will cause contention. If you don't agree with them, they will cause contention. Because it's a pride issue. It really essentially is a heart issue because they have pride in their heart. And their egos are so huge, they want people to stroke their ego. Okay. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The only thing that pride will lead you to is destruction. Be careful for wolves in sheep's clothing. Be careful. Because wolves in sheep's clothing, they've got pride. And eventually they will fall. I want to share something with you. Something I wrote on Facebook. If I can get to it. If it wants to load. I said on Facebook, a man's pride is his downfall, but a humble spirit is exalted. You know, a man's pride is his downfall. That's true. We just read it. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay? But what is the second part? A humble spirit is exalted. Jesus said, whosoever shall humble themselves shall be exalted, and whosoever shall exalt themselves shall be abased. So if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Amen. But if you exalt yourself like these wolves in sheep's clothing, you will be abased. You will be. Okay? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. These people who draw disciples to themselves are fools. And it says, in their mouth they have a rod of pride. So you're starting to see that pride has a lot to do with it. Okay? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 to 23. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, again, we're starting to see, we're seeing that pride, you know, man's pride. I'm telling you what, man's pride is a killer. It's pride is a killer. Turn with me to Isaiah 14. Turn with me to Isaiah 14. Verse 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? But thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You want to know something? Lucifer wants to be like what? He wants to be like God. And I'm going to tell you something. He has pride in his heart. And you want to know something? He wants to draw a following after his own self. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Satan is trying to be like God and draw people after himself. And he has pride in his heart. You have people who are trying to draw people to themselves, to make disciples of themselves, instead of making disciples of Christ. And they have pride in their hearts, and they're wolves in sheep's clothing, and they are of their father, the devil. And the lusts of your father, they will do. Hang on a second. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Think about that for a second. Are you all starting to get that? Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. How much more shall his ministers be? You know, Satan has ministers. They're called wolves in sheep's clothing. And those wolves in sheep's clothing care about the views. They care about the number of people that come to see them. They want to draw people after them and not after Christ. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25 to 26, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Let me tell you something. These wolves in sheep's clothing that try to draw disciples after their own selves have a fear of man. It's not just pride. It's a fear of man. They want to stroke the ego. Joel Osteen is a very good example of that. And I'm going to tell you something. There can even be fundamental teachers, Bible teachers, that can be that way too. Even fundamental Baptist teachers. Even so-called Christians who think they are preachers and are not. But do lie. Anyone who lies is a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. If there are people who are drawing disciples after their own selves and are in ministry because they're doing it for selfish reasons, you're doing it because you're prideful, you're arrogant, you've got an ego, you're contentious, you don't care about anything, you get angry, you get flustered, and you start causing trouble, you start devouring flocks, you start sheep stealing. And Jesus says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These wolves in sheep's clothing that are in ministry just because they're deceitful workers. They are deceitful workers. First John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So these selfish people who draw people to themselves, They weren't of us. They're not. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, they may be saved. Paul is not seeking the profit himself, but to profit others by winning them to Christ. People who are looking for attention, people who try to draw people after their own selves, making them disciples of their own selves, they're trying to profit their own self by trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And we know that these are not of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Anybody who claims to be a servant of Christ and is drawing attention to themselves by trying to create disciples after their own self and trying to fulfill the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, they are men pleasers. They are prideful, they're arrogant, they're men pleasers with big egos. They're men pleasers. And men pleasers are not servants of Christ. So anyone who claims to be a servant of Christ but yet is trying to draw followers after their own selves and not to Christ, they are men pleasers. And if they're men pleasers, they're not the servant of Christ. There are people who say that they're servants of Christ and they appear to look like it, but when they only serve their own selves just to please men, they are not the servants of God. Therefore, if someone claims to be a servant of Christ and they are not, because they serve themselves and not others, they are deceitful workers and they're liars. Let me tell you something. A wolf in sheep's clothing is not a sheep. A wolf in sheep's clothing is not a sheep. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Last verse and we'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. These people who are in ministry for the wrong reasons, they claim to be preachers, they claim to be pastors, they devour the flock, they're prideful, they're arrogant, they're men pleasers, they're liars, they're contentious, and they're people who want people to follow them and make disciples as they after them. That is contrary to sound doctrine. I just had another verse that popped up in my mind. Okay. Matthew chapter 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. These so-called preachers and so-called pastors that make proselytes and make disciples after their own selves and have them follow them, they make them twofold the child of hell than they are. And these people that do that are Pharisees. They're hypocritical Pharisees. They are men pleasers. They have pride issues. They have ego issues. They steal, they lie, they cheat, and you name it. Okay? Now I want to close with this. Jesus Christ loves you dearly. He paid that price in full at the cross. Because we couldn't pay it. But the Lord paid it in full. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know for sure today that if you were to die, you can know for sure that you are going to heaven. And it's all it is you going before the Lord Jesus Christ as you are, admitting that you are a sinner, confessing your sins, asking Him to forgive you of your sins, asking Him into your heart, asking Him to fill you with His Spirit. But most importantly, putting your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross. Pharisees can be saved. They can be. There was a Pharisee by the name of Saul. We know him as Paul the Apostle. And on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he may receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. And the children of Israel, for I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And Saul, then was Saul certain days of the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Saul, who then became Paul, was a Pharisee, a hard-hearted Pharisee, drawing disciples after his own self. And God got a hold of him. If God could get a hold of the worst, chiefest of Saul, who then became Paul, he can get a hold of your life. Amen. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, you'll be saved. Amen. Listen, guys, I love you. Okay? That may seem hard to a lot of people. But I need to preach the truth. This was a message that I felt that the Lord gave me, and I needed to preach it. Okay? If I am wrong in anything that I said, then I pray and ask that the Lord will chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. I want you, don't take my word for it. I want you to take what I say and match it against the Bible. If what I say matches with the Bible, then great. But if it doesn't, then let God be true and Brandon be a liar. If I'm wrong, then God will chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. But if I am right, then God will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Listen, it was good to be here. I'm just going to just play just one thing here, Saved by the Blood, and then we'll close out for the night, all right? Saved by the Blood. Listen, I love you guys. God bless you. Keep me in prayer. We'd like to do one of these every Sunday night if I can. And you pray for me. Pray that God will just take this and do with it as he will. And I just pray, Lord, that if this reaches one particular soul, then and if it changes them, then so be it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And thank you all for tuning in today. I love you guys. But with that said, this is Brother Brandon. I'm going to be signing off for the evening. God bless you. I love you guys. And we'll see you later, all right? God bless you guys. Have a good night. Bye.